We all know it's my favorite thing to repeat the tireless football coaches cliche. So how about one on this Monday morning, Prep Sports Now, Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. Ray, how many times have you heard a coach say, we have to win all three phases of a game? And you're gonna telling me that too many teams in this town are giving up one of those phases.
I agree with you. Special teams play in this city is an absolute joke. I know that a lot of teams put some of their kids who don't play much on special teams to get them on the field. But it comes with a huge sacrifice. Last week alone, Case, 6 kickoff returns for a touchdown, 3 punts for a touchdown. Way too many. Let me tell you a quick story. About 3 years ago, I covered the Meadows 2A playoff game. Who knows who they were playing? And every kick in the game was like a squib kick or an onside kick. And I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, why are you killing yourself with the field position? Just kick it deep. And then one time they kicked it deep and the kid took it to the house. And it's because at the 2A, each team's got like one or two good athletes that they put back there for kicks. The kid touches the ball and he's done. Game over. So they figure, well, I'll skip kick it or try to offside kick it to at least give myself a fighting chance. And maybe that's what they should do on the 4A. Because I cannot believe that. And it's not just like, okay, Shadow Ridge, not one of the best teams in town, gave up 2 punt returns last week to Ryan Bouye. Is that how you say it?
I think that's close. Bouye? If that's not right, it's close.
I think he's the best junior in town. Ryan B., my man. Also took one against Cheyenne to the house. I think he's lethal. He's quick. Why do you even kick him the ball, though? I mean, you know, you've obviously seen him take him to the house against Cheyenne, who last time I checked has some good players, right? So if you're Shadow, and obviously, why do you kick it to him? Why do you give him the chance?
Especially after he takes another one back. Yeah, Ryan Bouye, definitely, I think if I had to make my top 5 players in town, I think he'd be on the list. That's where I thought you were going with this. I didn't know about all the other kick returns, and maybe I'm ruining your plans here, but you have these notes here. What's the fourth number? You have 4 tallies on the 4th thing, and you haven't even mentioned that.
Defensive touchdowns, pick 6, scoop and scores.
Oh, okay.
There were 4 of them last week.
Interesting. So there were more special teams touchdowns than defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, and like El Dorado? I gives up a special teams touchdown per week. Sunrise Mountain returned a kick against them. Not that El Dorado is like a benchmark of success, but, I mean, are you giving up a special teams touchdown every week? Is there some way where you could line up? They kick off from, what, the 40 in high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way where you could get every kid on the offensive line and line them up and work on the toe poke and find one kid that could toe poke it through the end zone? I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, a kick.
Or just one kid on campus.
Yeah, any kid on campus. You know, go to the soccer team and find the first kid that gets cut. You know, you don't have to kick it on your sweet spot. Just run as fast as you can and put some girth into it and kick. I mean, Gorman against Servite 2 weeks ago, Justin Sweet took it to the house, first play of the game, touchdown. So even Servite, a great team that has a real kicker and real players playing special teams, gave up a kick return for a touchdown. It's not like Devin Hester, Case, is doing this. Even Liberty, your Liberty Patriots, congratulations on another victory against Basic. Case and I both had it because we both love Liberty, obviously.
this side of the table more than the other side.
Okay, even Liberty last week gave up a kick return. Liberty, one of the top 4 teams consensus in town. Gave up a kick return.
Maybe that had more to do with Andre Johnson for Basic than it did with Liberty.
He's the real deal. No doubt about it.
Here's the thing. There's a reason.
You got to have guys blocking for you, too. I mean, you're not just doing it by yourself.
That's true, but there is a reason why I like this little rant you've went on today. Sometimes I think that you are extremely guilty of coming up with these things and complaining and not offering any solutions, but you've already offered us 2 solutions. All right, so your number 1 is find a kicker. Seems like your number 2 is don't kick it to the athlete, or are those the 2 things? Is there anything else you want to throw in of how to fix this problem?
If you go for an onside kick every play, do you eventually recover one of them? Or are you just giving away field position around midfield every time? What's the difference from if you kick it out of bounds, they get it at the 40? My favorite thing is when a team kicks it out of bounds and I'm like, oh yeah, this guy's going to get it at the 40, great field position, and the coach will be like, let him re-kick it. And the next thing you know, they push him back 5 yards. They re-kick. The kid kicks it out of bounds again. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, come up with some creative onside kickways. I got to say, this might sound wrong that we're saying something positive about this team, because I think this team's been much maligned this year, and we've certainly sounded like that on the podcast. But Silverado, I think they just beat Coronado last week 7-0. The time I saw Silverado against Del Sol, they had one of the coolest onside kicks I've ever seen. They sent 9 guys to the other side and left one little speedster. Del Sol freaks out, puts everyone on that side, and they kick it to the other side. The guy recovers it. It was great. Maybe come up with some creativity like that.
Yeah, but then again, you're relying on having a kicker being able to execute that. And if you got a kid that could somehow pooch it or kick it on the ground first to get some good air, you might as well just kick it back to the – see if you could kick it through the end zone. That's why I thought Gorman was so good last year. Obviously, you know, they had better players running down on special teams. But the Ditsworth kid was like touchback 70% of the time. And then that puts your defense – you know, 80 yards is a far way to go in high school. If you could get a kid that kicks it into the end zone, and then you got the other team the ball on the 20, you know, one false start away or a bad snap, which happens all the time, right? Next thing you know, the team's on the 15, on the 10. It's all field position, baby, any level of football. But it just frustrates me where it's like some of these guys are going, like, untouched. It's, like, not even close. Like, if we're playing two-hand touch, could you get somebody down? It just absolutely drives me crazy. It just speaks volumes to the level of play in some games.
So special teams, one thing that really stuck out about last week, I wanted to ask you your other impressions on the game. I know my thing that I've been thinking of, and we might have talked about this on the podcast before, but just really impressed with the level of play up in the Northwest. Great game between Cimarron and Centennial. I know we disagreed on it, but it really did come down to the wire. I think we both, you're pointing at yourself, but I think we both were kind of right, because if you're giving me Cimarron plus the points, plus two they cover, they played a great game. Centennial had what it took, came back, won the game, or didn't come back, but held on. So I think that lived up to expectations. Then the other game I wanted to mention in the Northwest, kind of an illustration of how good the Northwest is. Moapa, Del Sol's what, the fifth or sixth best team in the Southeast now? Is that fair? And Moapa pretty much destroys them. Moapa then goes up and plays the sixth best team in the Northwest and can't beat Legacy. So I think that speaks to how good and how far ahead the Northwest is all the other leagues in town.
And then I can't figure out Cheyenne, because they beat Legacy and they beat Cimarron. And obviously they look bad against Arbor and Palo, but everybody does. Is Cheyenne now the third best team in that league? Because I think what's going to happen is that Centennial and Cheyenne are going to go Palo, Arbor, 1-2, and then the 3 is going to be the winner of the Centennial Cheyenne game, and the 4 is going to be, you know, the loser who's going to lose to Gorman then in the first round of the playoffs. But I got to think if you played that game again, Cimarron would beat Cheyenne by 20 points. I think Cimarron's a pretty good team that's probably not going to make the playoffs. I think Cimarron would be in the playoffs. I think they'd be the second best team behind Gorman in the Southwest. I think they're better than Oasis. I think they're the second best team behind Vegas in the Northeast, which means they're better than Canyon. But yet I don't think they beat DP. I can't still believe DP lost to Canyon. That is a shocker of all shockers.
Well, I think that I think all these games, it's kind of a coin flip, and I think you get a lot of different results if you play them again. I think we saw that with Cimarron and Centennial. I think it's about a 50-50 game. Maybe Centennial wins a few more, but of course it was at Centennial.
And let's put an asterisk here. Centennial was missing like 4 guys from a suspension. You know, 2 starters, 2 other contributors.
Well, Cimarron has like 22 guys total.
I don't care. I mean,
Centennial, you've seen Centennial. Team. Centennial has 90 guys.
Do we give Del Sol a mulligan because they only got 20-some guys?
Well, I'm not even talking about Del Sol. I'm talking about Cimarron and Centennial right now. An even matched game that I think if you play it 100 times, Centennial probably wins 55 or 56
of them. Okay, but if you took Jacoby Owens off of Centennial and Damari Williams off of Cimarron, Centennial still dominates.
Exactly, because they have 90 kids. That's
no,
what I'm saying.
They got more depth. They got a better
program. Yeah,
because
they have 90 kids.
Well, I
exactly.
Mean, you're telling me that I'm right and you're making me wrong?
No, I'm agreeing that you're right.
That's right, agree.
I agree that you're right, but I don't see the program. How can you not admit that they have a huge advantage with their numbers?
Well, that's why I picked them.
All right. Well,
you got to take that into consideration. And Del, let's go back to a comment you made about a minute ago. Del Sol's the fifth or sixth best team in the Southeast.
I mean, you got to have Liberty 1, right? Green Valley 2, Foothill 3, and then probably Basic 4.
Well, that's
so. I guess fifth. I should say fifth.
It's going to come down between okay, Basic and Del Sol.
That's
for that
right. You
final
could. I should have said fourth or fifth, not
okay,
fifth or
because
sixth.
Because Del Sol plays Coronado this week. They need to win that game to set up a playing game, basically versus Basic. And then I guarantee you, Vegas, my Wildcats, why promote does not want to play Del Sol in the first round of the playoffs.
Some history there, right?
It's a mystery. Oh, a history and yeah, you're right. There's some history, some great playoff games, and you got to be nervous if you're Vegas. And I put this in my picks this week. Okay, Vegas is one of two undefeated teams in town, right, Kiefer? They
right.
got two of the best players in town in Henderson and Victor, right? Consensus top 20 guys in town, right? But they're not getting better beating up on that real bad Northeast division. So what's going to happen when they're finally in a playoff game? So they match up against the Southeast. So the Southeast is going to go Liberty, GV, Foothill, or Liberty, Foothill, GV, however it works out, right? And then the fourth team is going to be a Basic team that could score pretty much at will, right? But or Del Sol. I got to think those two game teams could upset Vegas.
I agree. I think you're right. I think Vegas would have to be the favorite, but either of those teams could do it. I do apologize to the Dragons. I should have said fourth or fifth, not fifth or sixth. But I got to say, I don't know when that Basic game is. You said, what, a couple weeks? I mean, I got to think I'd have to go with Basic just from what I've seen.
You'd be crazy if you picked Del Sol right now. They're just not a good team. They're not playing good defense. They're just, you know, they thought they'd be able to throw the rock around a little better than they are. Quarterback play has killed them the last 2 years.
Yeah, Basic, hopefully listen to what you said earlier in this podcast. I'll tell you what, if I'm playing Del Sol, I don't want to kick the ball to Chris Marshall. That's a perfect time for the squib. Del Sol is good when Chris Marshall gets the ball in the open field. Well, his best chance to get the ball in the open field is on a kickoff.
And then I think we learned a little bit about Basic last week against Liberty. Good game plan. Let's load it up. Let's try to stop Capelli. Well, what happens? Capelli starts slinging the ball around, throws it. Nakua, my man. Throws the ball around, throws for a few touchdowns. And that's kind of like when you talk about Arbor, Palo, Liberty, what do you think?
I mean, I think you have to put Liberty fourth because of the way Arbor just destroyed them. But I think it'd be very interesting if they played Arbor again now and Palo again now. I think it'd be really close games both ways.
Okay, my question, you didn't understand me. What do you think when you think of these three teams?
Oh, my bad.
What do they have in common?
They pound it.
Arbor and Liberty, they pound it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ground and pound. That's my new theory. I love it. Okay, so now I think I'm going to talk about
a little Tito Ortiz in this podcast.
Yes. Now, Basic knows. They listen to our podcast. They know Liberty's going to try to ground and pound in it, so they load it up, and then Nakua BBs it around and beats them, right? Arborview the other day, the kid threw for like 160 yards. I'm like, that's kind of out of script. And they're like, well, what was supposed to do? They put like 14 guys in the box. You got to throw it.
And Palo, the Ross kid over there, went 5 for 5.
Yeah, so I think what's happening is these teams are like, okay, we're not going to be beaten on the ground between Arbor, Palo, and Liberty. Let's load up and make them throw the rock around to beat us. And then what happens? So far, they've been throwing the rock around well.
All three of them, I think you make some good points there.
Good points. And I just think with Basic, one more time, is that, you know, I love their offense. And I like Basic. They had the TV game Thursday, Case, all black uniforms. They're pretty sharp. And I like what they're doing over there with the program. They got more participation. But Liberty either is A, really good, a lot better than I give them credit for, or B, Basic's got some huge problems defensively. Because Basic gave up, you know, 40-plus against Green Valley, 40-plus against Liberty. And what do both those teams have in common?
Good running games.
Let me ask you this, totally off subject now. And folks, usually we're a little more structured, but today it's just kind of been a smorgasbord of topics. Who do you think, if you had to pick an MVP, excluding Gorman, if you had to pick an MVP of the city right now, who's been the best player, the most valuable player? I think there's only one answer.
I think that we're actually probably going to agree on this. As soon as you said this, the first guy that jumped to my mind is Aaron Love.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, baby.
It's got to be.
So
I mean,
solid all year.
in Green Valley, this is a team that really has been out of kind of the picture the last couple years, and you look at what they've done this year, and you look at how they've done it, it's on his heels. So I'd probably give the vote to him, right?
200 yards a game, multiple touchdowns. The kid's finally living up to expectations. Yours truly kind of said he was going to be the man. I told Castro when I was talking to him, the coach at Green Valley, I said, bro, you better clear up some space on that office wall for a Coach of the Year plaque. Huh?
Wow.
Is he Coach of the Year? Who else do you give it to?
I haven't really thought about that, but I guess it's hard to argue against. I'm surprised you aren't giving it to the guy at Mojave the way you talk about them every week.
What about, or do you give it to Dupree? 5-1, beat Silverado, should have been the 2 in that league, except they fumbled against Desert Oasis. Is Sean Dupree done a better job than Brian Castro?
I mean, it's hard for me to say. I haven't seen both those teams, but I think you're kind of right on. It's probably those two guys are probably right up there, right?
It's a shocker. Both teams. If you tell me Bonanza loses Martin and Sterling Sproul, and they're still participating, the Doyle kid has been sensational at quarterback. I'm telling you, you get a good quarterback in this city, you could do great things.
And, I mean, their defense is about 100 times better this year.
Yeah, I agreed on that. Defensively, they were like Swiss cheese last year, a lot of holes. But
the color of their jerseys are kind of Swiss cheese, too.
Yes, yes. But it's like when you think you got a quarterback, it's like, okay, can I get a guy just to hand the ball off? But there's so much more than that. If you can't throw a pass, you're done. Anyways, let's move on to the picks.
All right, we'll move on.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
There was, but I totally forgot. No. I totally forgot now as soon as there was something I was going to bring up. And
you didn't tell me how you love Liberty and how Liberty's the best team in town.
As soon as you brought up Swiss cheese. No, I'm trying not to talk about Liberty because I know it would somehow slip that you just called them overrated right before we came into the podcast room. Oops, there it is. There you go, Liberty. Your Ray Brewer diss of the week. He just calls you overrated.
Well, here's the deal. If people could listen to what we talk about in the newsroom and how honest we are, we kind of really tone it down because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's a real delicate balance because, you know, they're teenagers and we can't rip them. We can't say, oh, Joey Smith fumbled 3 times. Why is he getting the rocks so much? Or, oh, this team has no chance with so-and-so at quarterback because they're kids. So we got to be brutally honest outside of the newsroom. And Liberty's a tough nut to crack. They have been the last 2 years for me because I'm so in love with, you know, that guy who's going to go put his track shoes on and just burn it up. But Capelli's been that and a bag of chips, right?
He has been. All right. Well, I guess that wraps us up for that. We will move to the picks. This game actually could be better than you think. Coronado and Del Sol in the Thursday night game. I know you have Del Sol, but you think it's going to be close? You think Del Sol runs away here?
Well, I'll tell you what, Del Sol hasn't been on a losing streak like this since they first opened. And that year they lost to Coronado by 60 points, believe it or not. I'm picking Del Sol. I'm not off the Chris Marshall bandwagon. I got one problem with Coronado. I think Coronado has got 2 elite players that could bang with anybody. Chris Johnson at tailback and Cody Mussino at wide receiver. The Mussino kid, it's like he's the Devontae Neal kid from Chaparral. He's allergic to the football. They can't get him the ball. If I'm Coronado, I'm getting this kid involved on reverses. I'm getting this kid, he's small, kind of like a Wes Welker. I'm getting him lined up inside. I'm getting him quick passes. I'm giving him a chance to be successful because, you know, he's been making plays since his freshman year. Now he's a junior, and the kid can't touch the ball. Make plays for your playmakers. I take Chris Marshall.
Coronado almost beat Foothill. Coronado almost beat Silverado. And I say they're going to beat Del Sol. It's my upset of the week.
What?
Coronado, I just decided right now. I was going to pick Del Sol this whole way, but I think you look at Coronado, they've been in some close games. They deserve to win one in the Southeast.
They do.
Coronado.
If Del Sol loses to Coronado this season, from third in my poll to losing to Coronado.
Last thing on Coronado, are they kind of a sleeper team for next year? I mean, I know they're pretty young, Look how close they're keeping all these games.
Trust me, they're not the only thing. No way. Coronado is Coronado's biggest problem is that they're not physically strong. And you talk to
That's why by next year you're going to get those kids in the weight room and they're going to be much better.
Mr. Olympia, they would need to get that stronger. Coronado gets physically pushed around. Silverado had like 12 sacks last week. They were penetrating that line.
And they still only won by 7.
Can't score.
All right, Coronado, I'm going with upset there.
Do you want to make that our $5 game?
Well, how many points are you giving me? You have to make points of that.
Points?
Yeah, we did for Mojave and Faith, right?
Oh, my God.
I have to take points for Coronado at Del Sol. Come on.
How many points do you want? Unless you can find another game on this tally sheet.
I'd say I want 7.
So I got Del Sol.
I want Coronado plus 7.
Wow. That's a good number. I'm going to have to think about it.
All right. Okay, get back to me.
Okay.
Just that this week, we're looking down at the games. Not a whole lot else we disagree on. Silverado at Foothill. Foothill's homecoming. I got to think we're probably going to be on the same side here.
They will, but here's the deal. Silverado fighting for its playoff life. They basically have to win out, and they know what a victory over Foothill could bring. And Silverado, as we've said 1,000 times, still does have talent. They play for this thing called the Victory Bell. I don't know if anybody really cares about it, but they do ring the bell.
The players do.
Okay. I like Foothill, a home game. I've said 1,000 times I could care less about home field advantage, but Foothill's got a 100-person band, a 15-person cheerleading staff. They each bring a mom, a dad, and a few siblings, and they pack that side. I really think Foothill's got the upper hand.
Home field advantage does matter. Okay, maybe not as much in high school football as
in
college.
Matters in Alabama.
But no, it matters here. I guarantee you, and I'm not going to do this work. Maybe we can ask Ed to do it. Let's gather the last 10 years of Las Vegas high school football and see if there's more home teams that were won or away teams. I'm willing to bet a ton of money it's home teams.
Okay, well, let's do that. Home teams and away teams.
All right. Okay. So Foothill for me, too. Green Valley at Liberty. This might be the most game with the most on the line this week. It's probably whoever wins it is in the driver's seat to win the Southeast. But personally, I just don't see how Liberty loses here. I think they're going to kind of overman Green Valley.
Let me play devil's advocate here.
You who picked Green Valley to win by 1 over Virgin Valley last week.
And did they win?
By 22, which
but
I picked them by.
They were down at halftime, though.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. Okay. I just saw the score and kind of patted myself on the back.
Okay, Green Valley last year was beating Liberty by double digits, and Green Valley definitely got into Liberty's head. Okay, Green Valley has a player in Aaron Love who we agree has been the best player in town, and Green Valley could really score. They could put up points. The quarterback, Jacob Olam, Hawaiian, right? Maybe wants to put up a game against some of his Polynesian brothers over at Liberty. And I think Green Valley is going to be able to score with them. My only problem is that when Liberty starts grounding and pounding with the Capelli boys, you know, Jordan leading the way, blocking for Nico, it's really tough to stop Liberty. I know Green Valley is going to try to get in their head. I know Green Valley's got a lot of momentum. But I think Liberty could score pretty much at will. I got them scoring 47, Kiefer. 47-20. The only way Liberty loses this game if it beats itself. Remember, though, it will be an emotionally charged game. Look for some yellow 15-yard hankies.
Yeah, here's my thing. I like Liberty, too, and I know we talk about Liberty a lot, so this will be the last thing. And I agree with you. It seemed like, from what you told me last year, Green Valley got in their head. Liberty got a lot of those penalties. Here's one thing I'll say about Liberty. I'm not ready to call this year's team better than last year because that's kind of ridiculous seeing what last year's team did. But I think this team does kind of have their head screwed on a little bit more straight than last year. Last year, they'd come out and play terrible every first half. They'd get a bunch of those penalties you talk about. It seems like in the last few weeks, they've been less penalty prone. It seems like that they've been more. After the Del Sol game, I was amazed. All the kids are talking about how much they respected Del Sol, and this was so big because we know what Del Sol's done in the division. I don't see last year's team doing that at all. Last year's team was, you'd see some kid run up, you know, 10 seconds after the play and hit him 15-yard penalty. I just don't see that as much with this year's group.
Yeah.
So I like Liberty. Probably about the same score as you have. I haven't done my scores yet, but I'm taking Liberty.
So at least 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, probably 3 touchdowns.
All
okay.
Right.
El Dorado and Canyon Springs. Canyon Springs in that stretch of their schedule where they're probably not going to lose.
I agree with you. Canyon's only given up 19 points the last 3 weeks. Granted, they've been playing Shap and Sunrise and whomever, but you give young players a lot of confidence. They've got quick memories. I think they're in good shape.
I agree. Canyon Springs all the way. Chaparral in Valley. Here's my question for you. You are a Chaparral graduate, so why don't they run your kind of philosophy more and get their best player the ball? The kid that you were hyping up so much, Toure Williams, It seems like he never touches the ball. I think I read in some story that he had no catches this year.
Yeah,
can't you figure out a way to get him the ball?
Turns out he might not be their best player.
Oh, okay.
I guess they think the better kid is the Thomas kid at running back, and that Williams is a better defender. To be announced. Even if he's big and tall, and you can't, unless you have a quarterback that could throw, which clearly we don't. I say we. I don't care. Orange and black forever. They've got no chance to beat Valley, which is a shame. Shap, it's going to take a while to rebuild this thing. I mean, we talked earlier about Centennial and how they had all these kids and numbers. And if you look at the teams that have numbers, Desert Oasis, Palo, Centennial, obviously Gorman. There's a reason why you're winning.
Arborview,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which I think is the most impressive out of the group. Let me tell you this quick story real fast. On Saturday, I was watching who I think is one of the best middle school players in the town, the kid I've been telling you about, who got rated as the seventh best seventh grader in the nation the other day.
What's his name?
Ethan Doudreau. The kid's legit. Okay. If there's seven kids better than him, I wouldn't know who they are. Anyways, I'm there and I'm talking to this guy who is like he went to Rancho. He's the middle school coach. He's the Rancho High middle school coach. And him and his wife, he's got a kid who he thinks is decent, who's a tailback. And him and his wife are kind of debating with me like where they should send the kid to high school. And obviously everybody sees Gorman's uniforms and national schedule and the scholarships going out of there. And everybody wants to play at Gorman. And I'm like, well, if your kid is going to go be the running back at Gorman, he better be the best running back in town, a year older than him and a year behind him to play. Because you don't want to pay all that money to go over to Gorman to be a backup, right? And so I'm like, well, you're coaching the Rancho middle school team. Why doesn't he just go to Rancho? Why don't you feed all your guys there and be great? And then I'm like, well, where are you zoned for? And the guy's like, well, we live by Arborview. And I'm like, your kid's a tailback and you wouldn't want to go to Arborview? You know what I'm saying?
It makes sense to me.
What? I mean, Arborview is one of the best.
No, I mean, it makes sense to me that you would go to Arborview.
Yeah, I mean, Arborview is one of the best five teams in town. Wouldn't you want to go there?
You would think.
They got no street cred right now. They're good, but they have no street cred. Nobody wants to go there. It's crazy. Kids want to win, right? And they think the only place you could win at is Gorman or Palo.
Were they not watching 2 years ago? Legacy won that division.
Wow. That was a, who knows?
I'm just saying it can happen. And maybe, you know, I don't think Palo and Gorman win their divisions every year for the next 10 years. I don't think they're going to be 20-0. But we'll, somehow we got off on this subject. We were talking about Valley and Chaparral. I'm taking Valley, even though I can't believe I picked them against Desert Pines last week. I knew I was giving you a game there, which leads us into Desert Pines at Rancho. I'm making up for it this week. I'm going to pick Desert Pines to win big here.
I agree with you. Leon Hayes, the Wilkes kid running the ball. I think that Desert Pines could run on whoever they want. And I hate to bring up the Liberty game. And even the Desert Pines coach told me, listen, don't piss off Liberty. We might have to play him again. But I think Desert Pines could run on anybody. It's just, are they physically fit to go the whole way? I mean, you got three awesome linemen and a great tailback. You got two D1 linemen and a D1 tailback.
Is Leon Hayes like 26 now? It seems like he's been there forever.
26? He's got a beard. And, it's, you know, he's...
I just know when I first got here, I'm pretty sure he was one of their leading rushers, and he's still doing it over there. Desert Pines, big over Rancho.
And Rancho's not that bad. I still say that, for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, and that might not be much, but Las Vegas at Sunrise Mountain. We'll see how much that home field advantage works here for the Miners. Probably not too well.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, Las Vegas all the way. Pahrump Valley at Clark. It is Clark's homecoming.
Which means nothing, as I told you. I almost took Pahrump, too. The reason I didn't, I think Pahrump, I mean, obviously they beat Western. They kept it close against Sierra Vista. They're much improved. They're not the team that lost 30 straight coming into the year. But I'm going to go with one of my theories that, you know, I've got my crazy theories, right? I say a team a week after losing to Gorman or Paolo awfully just is so humiliated realizing their season means nothing that they don't put up a good fight. And I think that last week, Prump got beat by Gorman's ones, twos, JV team, and freshman team, or whoever they combined up there, and they just don't – they just realize that it's over. And I think Clark takes advantage of it because it is homecoming after all.
Yeah, you're probably right.
First time.
Clark's got to be the favorite, but I'm going Pahrump Valley. Sierra Vista and Desert Oasis. The Diamondbacks kind of hitting their stride. I don't really see them losing again to the playoffs.
I don't see them losing to the playoffs again either. They went out, they get the two, and they host a playoff game looking for their first playoff win, which speaks volumes, three coaches in 3 years of the participation they have up there. I will tell you this. I think Justin Green from Sierra Vista, the running back, might be the best player on the field. And you know what I think about the best player on the field. I think Dio wins, but I think it's closer than you think.
Gorman and Spring Valley. I feel like once a week you tell me that Spring Valley was the last team to beat Gorman. So go ahead and get it out of here now.
06, Sam Boyd Stadium. I was there. Gorman homecoming. They beat them. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Not because I hate to see Gorman lose. Not that I like to see Gorman to win either. I'm totally objective, as everybody knows.
Unless it comes to Chaparral.
Unless it comes to Chaparral. But to see a team that was perceived to lose so bad just rally and beat Gorman and show that it's possible and obtainable was pretty neat. And that team partied like they won a trophy for a state title that day. Good game.
So you're picking Spring Valley here.
I'm going Gorman big.
Oh, what a surprise. Go Gorman too.
Big?
Yeah,
I'll give you 53 points. Do they cover?
Ooh, 53? That's a pretty good line, actually. I don't want to say no because I would take that, but then I know people from Gorman listen to this, and if I take Spring Valley plus 53, they will win more than 53. I'll make sure they do it for you because I'd be disrespecting them or something.
To make me the chalk?
Yeah, so no way. I'm not taking it.
Okay.
I'll go Gorman. Durango and Western also in the Southwest. Western still out to try to get their first win of the year.
And I'll take Durango. Like to see Marcus Williams get more touches for Durango. He, after all, is their best player.
Yep, Durango, got to go with Brewer on this one. Shadow Ridge in Cheyenne. Cheyenne, tough last 2 weeks against the two best teams in their division. Shadow Ridge, though, probably the worst team in their division.
Yeah, probably. Here's the deal. Cheyenne's got to get its heads on straight and realize that if they win out, which is very obtainable, they'll be the three in the playoffs, which means they could go to win at Desert Oasis, which is also very obtainable. If you slip up once, you're the four, you go to Gorman, you know what happens. So Cheyenne controls its own destiny. They still have three good players. Those players just aren't that good when they play Arbor or Paolo.
Yep, Cheyenne, they're going to get back on track this week. One of the better games of the week, probably Arborview at Cimarron, but I just can't go against Arbor here. I see them probably winning by at least three touchdowns.
I agree with you. I think Arbor runs the ball better than Cimarron, but if Cimarron won this game, I guess I wouldn't be that surprised. I just don't see it happening.
Mojave and Legacy, I am now even for the season after you were up $10. I had Faith Lutheran against Mojave last week. They won. How's Mojave bounce back against a Legacy team coming off a big win against Moapa?
I think they don't. I think Legacy still maybe has an outside chance to hit the playoffs, and they roll.
DeAndre Hughes, watch out for him. I think he's going to have a big game against Mojave.
I would agree.
All right, Centennial at Faith Lutheran, homecoming for Faith Lutheran, and I don't care how motivated, distracted, whatever they are not going to beat Centennial.
I agree with you, but I do say that Faith Lutheran keeps it close. I think maybe Centennial has a little bit of a down after the big win at Cimarron. Faith does pass the ball, which I know is tough to defend. I think Centennial wins, but I only got them winning by single digits.
Yeah, I'll take Centennial by bigger than single digits. Maybe not a whole lot, but maybe 14 or so. Maybe the biggest game of the week. This is pretty much for the 3A Southern title. Virgin Valley and Moapa. I will be making the trip to Overton for the first time in my life. Any sights that you should make sure I see, first of all? And second of all, who do you have in the game?
I've only been to Overton once. Me and a lady friend I was hanging out with, we were looking for some hot springs. Couldn't find any, so we ended up driving back home.
You settled for some hot dogs.
Settled for some hot dogs. I actually, in 96 or 7, watched Silverado at Moapa Valley, and I will tell you, Moapa gets a nice little crowd to its games. It's pretty cool. It's a nice town. I hate the 3A with three teams. Thankfully, it'll be changed. You got to think Virgin's got the advantage at quarterback, right, with Humberto Urias, or however you say his last name. But Moapa Valley, class of the league, I got them winning.
Yeah, I have Moapa too, and I really do think it should be a great crowd. You said Moapa gets a good crowd, and even though it's a little bit of a hike, right? The Virgin fans are still going to come out to that one. I mean, it's such a huge game.
Yeah, this is a rivalry game, one of the most underrated rivalry games in town.
Yep. So I think we're both going Moapa, but looking forward to this one. Then to close things out, we'll go with one other rivalry game: Basic traveling up to Boulder City. The Jug game, I think Basic's had it for, like, probably the entire lives of some of these Boulder City kids. But anyway, they get it back and keep it in Boulder City.
I just think those Tria athletes for Basic, too much for Boulder to handle. I'm glad they're still playing the game. Used to be one of the games in town in the 50s and 60s. Clearly, we're not in the 50s or 60s anymore. I just think Basic, we got a star in this Antre Johnson kid. Star is born, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have the same respect for the rivalry game as you do, since I wasn't here as long. It just
I
seems,
don't have much of a respect.
Well, you said you're glad they still play.
I'm glad they still play.
I kind of think it's unfair that they still play. I mean, how much bigger of a school is Basic? I got to think Basic rolls here.
I think Basic rolls here as well.
All right, well, that does it for this edition of Prep Sports Now. Thanks for listening. We're back next Monday.